This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
Hey, welcome to All the Rage TV Edition. We're glad to have you back if you joined us last month. If not, and this is your first time, here's how it works. What you do is you listen to the podcast and you love it, and you tell two friends, and then you tell your two friends to each tell two friends, and we'll be the biggest podcast in the world within, what, a month or two?
Yeah, that's right. How could that fail?
I mean, that's
we should get Nick Cage to invest in it. I hear he loves these kind of things.
Yeah, it's a firmly established business principle that works, so I think we can use it to build an audience.
Not a Ponzi scheme.
Nothing at all like that. That voice you're hearing is my co-host, Brandon C. Williams.
The C stands for Chubacabra.
And I am Jason J. Hughes. And this is, as I
the
said,
J
all the rage.
The J stands for Chubacabra.
That's offensive. We just lost our Jewish listeners.
Hey, I didn't say anything about that. I was just changing the C to a J.
But maybe they're sensitive. I don't know. Anyways, this is All the Rage TV Edition. We come at you once a month on the 8 Days of Geek Podcast Network. There's tons of podcasts on the site, so you want to check them out. We cover kind of a little bit of everything across the network, but on this one, it's all about what's going on TV, and basically, there's been quite a bit in the last month. I don't think we haven't been with you since, what, the beginning of January? So since then, we've kicked off American Idol, we've kicked off The Voice, there's been a whole lot going on. So why don't we just start with those two?
We sportsed with the Super Bowl.
We did sports with Super Bowl, but we'll talk about that in a minute, because since I did say Voice and American Idol, I don't know how much long we want to talk about it. But it is interesting that American Idol's ratings have officially come back down to earth this year.
Yeah, when you put a giant black midget on stage, people want to see that.
And you think that's the draw.
CeeLo Green, definitely.
No, I think it's the format.
It is.
I just find it interesting that what I noticed when I was watching it, because I think The Voice has had two episodes now, maybe three, and American Idol's...
I'm pretty sure it's three.
American Idol's all done with their first version. They just started Hollywood this week. But we've basically seen the American Idol audition rounds, and we're seeing The Voice audition rounds right now, which is the blind audition format. And for me, I find myself kind of hanging on the edge of my seat and more intense and excited when I watch The Voice. And I think that has to do with how they're put together, and I think that may be part of what's hurting American Idol.
I think they actually choose better singers on The Voice, too.
Well, yeah, because they kind of handpick them, which I think some people have criticized, but I don't really see a problem with it, because people do still audition. They send in tapes or however it is they do that, and then you're chosen to go on, and they're not choosing anybody who's not good.
Well, this is the thing, and, you know, how many times have you heard this about American Idol? Oh, I love watching all those bad singers at the beginning. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, so if the stories are true and the people I talk to watch American Idol like that, then American Idol's ratings must drop huge as soon as they're done with the audition.
Oh, they do. They always drop.
So, and The Voice kind of set up the idea at the very beginning, we're not going to have bad singers. We're going to pretty much be all good singers.
Right.
And I think that was a smart idea.
And if you notice this year on American Idol, I don't know how much you watched the audition rounds, but...
Oh, I watched them. I hate American Idol auditions.
There were very few bad auditions this time around. They really tried to focus on the good singers. They also
I just feel like sometimes people aren't that good and they have a good story, like their sad sob story. So they let them through because they're okay. And then they immediately get cut. And that drives me crazy.
Yeah,
on The Voice,
This latest episode was that first Hollywood round where they cut people. And yeah, especially since they brought Steven and Jennifer Lopez on, and Steven Tyler, they've been sending more people to Hollywood than ever before. And then the bloodletting at the beginning, when it's just The Voice now, and then the story's no longer an issue, they're gone. So it'll be interesting, because right now I think the shows are sitting about 2 million viewers apart. The Voice is a huge hit for NBC, and Idol is actually slipping below 20 million, getting beat by The Big Bang Theory in the demo. NCIS is beating it in total viewers. So it's like the reign of Idol is coming to an end, and I don't know if The Voice is going to step up and take over, or if anything is going to be like that, because Idol's kind of this weird phenomenon that should have never happened in the first place. We just don't have TV shows like that. In fact, when you look at the top ratings, it's always the Super Bowl, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Because nothing else brings people together, and that's what made American Idol unique, was in the beginning it was bringing people together, and it was bringing these huge ratings.
It was like the Olympics and the Super Bowl. Randomly was a huge hit, but it was every week. So
right, and then it did that for, I'd say, 6 or 7 or 8 years before it started to drop, and then this year, suddenly, there's The X Factor, there's The Voice, there's American Idol. The novelty of it's kind of gone. By the time it came, we'd already seen a lackluster, disappointing X Factor season, which the fallout has been happening the past couple weeks from that,
with
the mass firings.
And I will say this, though, like American Idol, they technically gotten better at choosing, because a lot of people I'll talk to, they're like, I watched season one or season two, or I watched up to season four even, and I don't like it because it's like, oh, we'll just choose a pop singer, we'll just choose a pop singer. And it's like, that was very true.
Season four was the first season they picked a country singer, because that's when Carrie Underwood won.
Yeah, I think season six is when they decided to go, why don't we have a mix of things? And rockers got through, and we've gotten some pretty solid rockers that have gotten their career start there now. I mean, not many of them have done great, but, you know, there's a couple of them out there that sound great. I've heard them, and you can find their albums, and they're all really good, and they're still kind of small.
And then there's the Daughtry success story coming out of there.
Yeah, of course.
And The Voice hasn't had
He's the one who's launched all these people.
Right, and The Voice hasn't had any breakout stars yet, but they've only had one season, so it takes time.
Exactly.
I think the albums just came out for the winner and the runner-up, and who knows? We'll have to wait and see what happens. I think Kelly Clarkson took almost a year and a half before she started going anywhere.
And I like The Voice, too, because rap is a viable song style on The Voice. It's not on American Idol. You can be an amazing rapper, but there's very little chance you'll do very good, because as soon as they go country week, you're like, oh, well, I guess I'm going home, guys, because I can't sing a country song to save my life. Right. The Voice, they're much less limited when they do their little themes.
Right, and X Factor allowed rap in as well this year.
Yeah, but X Factor was just kind of, I don't know, it was just almost a bore to watch.
There was just something off about it all season.
If any geeks out there watch X Factor, don't know what I'm talking about. The voice that introduced people was the freaking voice from Super Smash Brothers. You know, the one's like, Mr. Game & Watch!
Oh, yeah, that was the worst voiceover
Rachel
guy.
Rachel Crowe!
In fact, in talking about the mass firings at X Factor, I'm so disappointed nobody said, and the announcer guy is going to be changed.
How about that horrible stage guy? I can't remember. Did he get fired? Because that guy was atrocious.
Stage guy.
Giant Australian guy.
The host?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone. Steve Jones.
Jeez, good. I know some of the fireys.
He was British.
I don't know what
he's gone. Nicole's gone. Paul is gone. Ellie Reed's the only one left with Simon.
All I know is that guy saying Marcus Canty. I'm surprised I got on TV.
Well.
With his pronunciation of that word.
It'll be interesting to see what happens next year. Apparently, with The Voice coming out as strong as they did, Fox is kind of shitting their britches a little bit.
For more giant black midgets.
So
do it.
Maybe that's what they'll hire, try and hire some giant black midget for The Voice. Then I don't know. I don't think American Idol is going to change the judges because it's still doing well. But
they had one. It was Randy Jackson. But then
he's still there.
Wait.
True, but he put some of it back on.
He still looks like a normal
person. He's pretty thin right now. But anyways, we're going to move on from that and jump into the Super Bowl real quick. Because I know you watched it at a restaurant where you couldn't hear anything, so you had to go watch the commercials later.
And I watched I got to visually see the I didn't have to hear the music actually of the halftime show, so I actually got a better view of the halftime show.
I will say that the halftime show, the sound. I mean, if you're at all thinking of last year when the Black Eyed Peas were just god awful, Madonna sounded good. It sounded clean.
I mean,
it almost sounded like, I was convinced it was lip syncing, and people are kind of arguing with me a little bit, but it sounded so crisp and perfect.
Oh, it was lip syncing. We talked about it. They put a CD on and they said, all right, everybody dance to this. And that's what it was. But they accept that. Everyone accepts it. It's not a rock band. It's not like it. If it was a rock band, sure, they're going to play. I don't expect her to sing. That would be ridiculous. With the amount of stuff she has to do to keep everyone's attention, I wouldn't expect her to not lip sync.
Well, maybe Black Eyed Peas should have lip synced last year. It would have sounded better.
Well, Black Eyed Peas should have never gone to the Super Bowl.
But the Super Bowl did hit 111.3 which million viewers, which put it 0.3 above last year's, which made it, of course, the new top-rated show of all time because football ratings just keep on going up. I think if you look at the ratings, other than MASH kind of being in the middle there, the last six or seven Super Bowls, they just count down because the ratings go up, 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 up. But maybe with it only going up 0.3, maybe we're hitting the ceiling of until we start making more people in the country. We're kind of as many people as exist in the country. I think a third of them almost were watching, which is pretty crazy.
I know that we were rooting for opposite teams, and we'll say that Jay was more successful than I was at rooting, but hey, whatever.
It was a game-wise, it was actually a real – I thought it was a really
fantastic
good game.
Unless you're a Pats fan and at the end and you're like, what are you doing?
But even then, you have to give credit to – the game came down to the final minutes.
At the very beginning of the game, the Giants just walked over the Pats, and you're like, oh, my God, come on. And then all of a sudden, the Pats are like, nope, you're not going to do that. And they almost dominated for the remainder of the game.
Basically, what happened – and I think I wrote about it on my Twitter feed, which you can follow me at UltraVersion21, anybody, because I'm awesome – it seemed like the Giants started playing the game at the beginning, and the Pats didn't come in until 10 minutes in.
And then they played a shorter game.
Yeah, because 10 minutes before the game ended, they quit.
Oh, yeah.
And all
I
of a sudden,
watching.
You know, the Giants were like, hey, all we have to do is one more drive, and then we can do this. And anybody who's been following the Giants this season knows that's what they do. Last-minute drives down to the end of the field, score, win. And that's what they did in the Super Bowl. So it was an appropriate win for them. But it was a fast game, too, which was crazy because we're in the Central Time Zone, and I think that game was over by like 9 o'clock.
Let's talk about that halftime show. And what was in that halftime show? Giant black midget, CeeLo Green. See, that's why the Super Bowl did so well. So basically, if you want your show to do well, you need to hire CeeLo Green to show up.
I don't think that had anything to do with it.
I don't know.
I think you're wrong. Hey, I got a question for you. Did you happen to watch the halftime show, or were you kind of just glancing at it?
No, I watched it. I watched it from beginning to end.
Okay, did you notice MIA flipping anybody off?
I thought she did, and I even said, did she flip them off?
Because I didn't catch it. And I've talked to several people,
they, like,
and so many people
in on her
did not catch it.
They zoomed in on her, and as soon as the camera was on her, she did it very fluidly, like lifted her hand up and put the middle finger up and then like did like a, you know, a come hither. So it almost looked like she was just moving her fingers.
Maybe it was like Simon Cowell when he scratches his face with his middle finger all the time.
Well, I mean, whenever you look back at the footage, it seemed pretty deliberate. But it's like Joe McHale of The Suit put it the best way. He's like – they came out and apologized, and they said, we sincerely apologize to our fans for this. It was vulgar and uncalled for. And he goes, yeah, I just can't stand it. You're going to lose every viewer now. It's like,
no one
cares.
That's it. People are
honestly
so offended.
Yeah, it's like, first of all, MIA, why the hell is she on TV? She shouldn't be. She should be with Kesha somewhere.
But do you want to know the smartest thing about this?
What?
Everyone's talking about MIA now. I guarantee you, during that halftime show, people were going, hey, it's Madonna. Ooh, look, Nicki Minaj. Who's that bitch?
Yeah, and MIA's had a couple hits. That Paper Plane song that it sounds like somebody put a sound effects machine on some horrible singing.
Right, but nobody recognizes her when they see her.
But the thing is, she's always kind of displayed herself as this tough bitch who can do whatever she wants. So it was a brilliant, brilliant strategy by MIA is to go, I'm a tough bitch. If I flip off, people are going to know. You know, that's almost the only thing she could have done more is flash her boobs, but she maintained a sense of integrity.
You don't flash your boobs at the Super Bowl because people go crazy.
Well, yeah, but
and then we end up with a bunch of old rockers for 7 years at the halftime show.
Yeah, well,
and we don't need that.
And then it was kind of insane. Like CeeLo Green showing up was weird, and then LMFAO, those guys are really new, if you think about it. I mean, this year they have
two songs.
2011. 2011 was their debut almost,
right.
And they're at the Super Bowl.
These
guys
song.
Are smart because their songs aren't great. By any means, they're not going to go down in history as anything, but they are like kind of almost mathematically put together to be enjoyed for different events.
Oh,
and
they're like Who Let the Dogs Out.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a little more than the Baha Men, because the Baha Men had that song. At least these guys have two songs.
Right. But I'm saying the way the song was written, it's that song that's just designed to be used in certain settings forever.
Oh yeah, it's
that's now going to be in every commercial wedding set. It's going to be any party you go to, that song's going to be on there forever. Yeah.
In a movie, if you're driving a car real fast, almost always that's going to start playing. So it works.
Next thing we're going to shift to is award shows, and there's two of them coming up before we meet again, but we're going to tell you right now that you're going to have to tune into All the Rage Movies. Hosted by Brandon for our Oscar picks and talks about the Oscars before the Oscars, which I think is in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
but coming up this weekend is the Grammys, so we're going to talk about that one here, because I haven't been able to find a music podcast. I've been looking on the site. But I don't see one, so we're going to just do it here, which is our way of saying we listen to music. We like the music, right?
And we might start doing a music podcast. Who knows? If there's demand for it, it will come.
And you know, geeks love music.
Oh yeah,
and like people geek out about music more than some other things.
Oh yeah, everyone likes music. That's the simple fact. There's no one on this planet that doesn't listen to music at some point.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of the universal thing. So anyway, why don't you start with the category and then name the albums, and you and I, friendly bet, we're going to choose who the winner is. And whoever wins gets to write a phrase, okay? Small phrase. And the other one has to say it on the podcast. And we'll have Jesse cut it and turn it into a soundbite that you can use in future podcasts.
Oh, sweet. Jesse has to teach me how to do that.
We'll do it eventually.
We'll figure that out. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to work my way from the bottom to the top so we save the bigger ones for the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start with one. Then you may not have heard any of these, but we'll find out. And we're going to start with the country album. And they are Jason Aldean, My Kind of Party, Eric Church, Chief, Lady Antebellum, Own the Night, Blake Shelton, Red River Blue, George Strait, Here for a Good Time, and Taylor Swift, Speak Now.
I will say that I don't see anything beating Lady Antebellum. At the same time, my wife has been listening to a lot of Aldean, and she really likes it. So Antebellum cleaned up last year. I'm going to go with Jason Aldean's.
Okay. So Brandon's going to go with Jason Aldean. I'm actually going to say I think Taylor Swift wins this one. I think she's been riding momentum on this album.
I don't know. This is like her last album. I would say this is the album that just hasn't.
And I thought she'd won an award like CMAs or something. I thought she just won for it. So.
And then she can walk out and look all surprised that she won.
She does every time.
Like she does every single time.
Like, I don't even know who you people are.
Oh my God.
All right.
I'm just a 7-year-old.
Rap album, I think, is actually going to be a really tight category. It's going to be tough. You've got Jay-Z and Kanye West's collaboration, Watch the Throne.
I don't think anything's going to beat that. I don't even like rap.
But then now listen to the rest of it, because you got Lil Wayne with the Carter 4.
I hate Lil Wayne with a passion, so
but
I'm not going to
he does that. Well. Lupe Fiasco, Lasers. Nicki Minaj, Pink Friday, her huge album,
yes.
And Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And I think Jay-Z and Kanye West together are going to trump Kanye West, but will they beat Nicki Minaj and Lupe Fiasco?
I'm going to still go with it, because Jay-Z doesn't do anything. When he does something, it's album of the year. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with you. I think that's the one to beat.
Yeah, so.
R&B album, you've got Chris Brown, Fame, El DeBarge, Second Chance, R. Kelly, Love Letter, Lettucey, Pieces of Me, and Kelly Price, Kelly.
Wow, I don't care about any of those.
Yeah, I don't either.
I
just read through it, and I'm like, wow, I could give a shit.
I'm going to go with R. Kelly only because R. Kelly, you know?
I'm going to go with Chris Brown because for some reason everybody seems to have forgiven him for beating people.
And throwing chairs through windows.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, that's okay. He's Chris Brown. Isn't he cuddly?
It's okay. He's a rapper. We don't expect the best quality out of those guys. But I swear to God, if you're a country singer and you get pulled over drunk driving, we're going to burn you at a stake.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the country, nobody drinks.
No, you have to be perfect. next is rock album. And they've got Grammy bait right at the top of their list. Jeff Beck, Rock and Roll Party honoring Les Paul. He's going up against Foo Fighters, Wasting Light. Kings
it's a fantastic
of Leon,
album.
Come Around Sundown, Red Hot Chili Peppers, I'm With You, And Wilco, The Whole Love. Wilco's another kind of Grammy bait band.
Yeah, man, I really want to do Wilco, but I'm actually going to go with a bad choice that's probably going to end up biting me in the ass. I'm going to go with Wasting Light by Foo Fighters, because that album was put together so well, and the story behind the album is so good, because they recorded it themselves. And
I'm actually going to match that pick as well. I think that's the one to beat. pop vocal album. I have a feeling we're going to agree again, even though this is another strong category. You have Adele's 21.
Yeah, come on.
CeeLo Green, The Lady Killer.
Ooh.
Lady Gaga, Born This Way. Bruno Mars, Doo-Wops and Hooligans.
That is a fantastic.
And Rihanna, Loud.
This is a great category.
That is a brutal category.
When Rihanna, Loud is the worst album in a category, you know there's a problem.
Right.
I would say, as an album, 21 is the best album all around.
But Gaga's Born This Way, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say it's between them. I really would like CeeLo to win.
Or you know, the Grammys would be huge. Bruno Mars would be fantastic.
Well, yeah, man, these are all good. I'm going to have to go with Adele only because I love her, so. And are you going with Adele or Lady Gaga?
I'm going with Adele. We're actually agreeing way too much for there to be a bet.
Well, at least we'll have to. Country and rap is going to be where we're separated. So
far, but I can't see anybody beating Adele. That album is fantastic. Every single that's been released has been a huge smash. The album's been number one for 3 years. It feels like.
I listen to it and cry. So,
all right, here's another good category: new artist, best new artist, the band Perry. Which I think is strong. Bon Iver, J. Cole, Nicki Minaj, and Skrillex.
Man, have you seen Skrillex? He's like dubstep and stuff.
Wait, yes, I have.
He's the half-shaved head and the big glasses. Skrillex is kind of weird. I don't see how he could win. He probably will end up winning because I'm saying this. But I'm going to go with Hipster Supreme. That's Bon Iver if you don't know that.
All right, so we're going to disagree on this one too. Because I'm going to say
Minaj.
Nicki Minaj, I think.
Yeah, I figured you would.
Is going to go with this one.
She's probably a better artist to bet on, but at the same time, it seems like new artist is always some weird. It's the most indie of them all.
Right.
Because who was it last year? Erica. No. What was her name?
Oh, God. It was that girl that was kind of nobody.
And she still is a nobody.
Yeah. So it's going to be J. Cole.
She went against like Justin Bieber and stuff, remember?
Let's see. Yeah, he didn't win. That was crazy. Song of the Year, this is a songwriter award, basically. I'm not going to list who wrote it. I'll list who performed it, because that's what people are going to know. So you have All of the Lights, which was Kanye West with Rihanna, Kid Cudi, and Fergie. The Cave by Mumford & Sons.
Mm-hmm.
Grenade by Bruno Mars. Holocene by Bon Iver. And Rolling in the Deep by Adele. Another good category.
I am actually going to surprise you and not go with Adele on this one, because I don't think Rolling in the Deep is her best written song.
I don't either.
I think Set Fire to the Rain is her best written song. So I'm actually going to go with The Cave, because the lyrics in that are just beautiful lyrics. And that song is performed so well. So Mumford & Sons. Mm. Because no one on this list beats Adele out as far as my favoritism, except for Mumford & Sons.
Right. I'm going to say... I think Adele gets that one. My secondary choice would totally be The Cave. It's like right next to it. I was almost picked.
And again, I don't even think The Cave is their best written song.
No,
Lion Man. And
by the same token, Bruno Mars, Grenade is not his best song.
Yeah. You're right. I was about to say, Grenade is probably up there, but Grenade is one of those really repetitive ones. He's got some really good written songs.
Album of the year, we're starting to get familiar here, but this is where everything comes together. So again, a strong category. You have Adele again with 21, Foo Fighters with Wasting Light, Lady Gaga with Born This Way, Bruno Mars, Doo-Wops and Hooligans, and Rihanna, Loud. Basically, it looks like it's the pop vocal album category minus CeeLo Green and adding the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, Foo Fighters took out CeeLo Green.
That's all that happened here.
I got to go with Adele, 21. I thought 19 was a fantastic album, and 21 was just I worry for Adele that she can not do better.
Yeah, 21 is probably one of the best albums of all time, as far as just a well put together album. All right, now record of the year.
I was surprised because Amy Winehouse technically did put out a record, I was surprised that Grammys didn't jump all over Amy Winehouse, because they usually do that if an artist dies.
True. Yeah, she's not anywhere. Record of the Year, this is all going to be familiar again. This is now not the songwriting version, but just the song.
And this is writing and performing, so it's all everything.
Right. So you have Rolling in the Deep again by Adele, Holocene by Bon Iver, Bruno Mars' Grenade, Mumford & Sons' The Cave, and now let's just out of nowhere throw in Firework by Katy Perry.
And that song is a horribly written song.
Which is not – it's her schmaltziest pandering song to, like, yeah. You're the best, look at you. But it's not at all the strongest song on that album.
It does sound great. It's probably one of the better sounding songs, but it's definitely not the strongest song. On this one, I feel like Rolling in the Deep, because it's performed so well. I feel like Rolling in the Deep should win and will win, but I am going to go with my boys and say Mumford & Sons. This is going to make me lose, but I am sticking with my guns, Mumford & Sons. That rhymed.
All right, so Brandon says The Cave, and I'm actually going to say Holocene.
Holocene. Oh, man, going all out. Well, yeah, because Arcade Fire won last year, so you're going...
That's right. And Bon Iver is kind of this indie weird band.
You're like, which one do I not know? That's the
right.
one that I'll
You know what? You just heard that. It blew your mind. You went, that's fucking genius.
Yeah. So, we talked about this via text a while back, and you said, you know, we can talk about the Grammys, and I said, well, what band has the hardest pronounced name? They're going to win. And look at these names.
True.
Bon Iver is definitely the hardest to pronounce name.
So, that's
is
the Grammys.
Is it Kniper?
It's going to be a long time before we can come back unless we talk about it on the movie edition or something. We're going to be a month before we find out who won.
You have a month to figure out what you want me to say.
or vice versa. you don't feel confident anymore?
Well, I'm going with some bad choices based on my likes more than...
True, you're thinking of like a Mumford & Sons sweep, which is really unlikely.
Yeah, so... Because they got gypped last year. The Ava Brothers got gypped last year, so I'm hoping maybe this is the year...
But they got to perform.
Well, yeah, with Bob Dylan, which is an honor, but
hey,
Bob Dylan...
Hey.
He didn't even sound like that. He sounded like...
True. You know what he reminded me of? he was like an extra on The Walking Dead. Just
you know what
kind
he reminded
of moaning.
Me? Young Frankenstein, whenever they perform the Ritz, you know? And he's singing, and then it goes to him, and then it's just grunts. Yeah. Look up Mumford & Sons, Abbott Brothers, and Bob Dylan Grammy performance,
and tell me.
Yeah. It's like, Bob Dylan, come on,
man. If you
man.
Didn't see it, it's worth watching because Mumford & Sons, the Avid Brothers are awesome. You get to see a guy hump a bass or what, a banjo or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, he does do the...
And it is... He's got one of the weirdest body posture motions during performing.
And he does it all the time. Like, every time he's playing. So, anyway, that was a lengthy bit, but I think that's going to be fun. Competition's always fun.
So we'll see what happens. That's the Grammys. And the next thing I'm going to talk about is found footage. What do you think of found footage programs and movies in general?
Interesting enough, I just had a fantastic conversation with a guy about found footage stuff, and it was basically started as an insult saying found footage movies, if you're out there, okay, you're an indie filmmaker, this is a PSA, and you want to do a movie, and you know found footage is the easiest to do because it requires little post-production.
Right.
Okay? If you want to do a movie, and it's a found footage movie, that's fantastic. There's some great movies. But if it's about exorcism, just don't do it. Just don't do it. We have enough. We have way too many. They're no good. They always do bad. So just stop it.
They always do bad. Isn't Paranormal Activity about that?
No, it's about hauntings.
So who did the exorcism ones?
The Exorcism of Emily Rose was done that way. The one last year, I can't remember the name of it right now, was like that. And this year was the I can't remember. There was one again this year. It was just – and it's always a girl because apparently women, they're just too stupid to not be possessed. That's what we don't know by movie.
That's the moral of the story. I think because it's more dramatic when a girl has super strength.
Maybe.
Than with a guy because you're like, oh, he's just roiding out.
Now they're scary.
Right.
So, yeah. But found footage can work so well if you do it in a way that – is interesting. Jay and I watched Cloverfield, and we didn't have a lot of hope for it, but it ended up being very good. Found footage.
I liked the way it was put together, right? And the thing that's kind of surprising me, and this is tying into The River, which is a new show on ABC because it uses that format for the most part. They conveniently also have a reality show, the Real World format on the ship because there's apparently 150 cameras mounted on that thing. But I find it interesting because like Paranormal Activity comes out and they keep putting more of them out because they're doing incredibly well.
Well, and I mean, the first surge was, of course, the Blair Witch Project. And
well, sure, but what
Paranormal
I'm getting
Activity
at,
just brought it back.
But what I'm getting at is found footage can be successful. And The River comes out, and I thought it was well put together, and it did a good job of being spooky as much as you're going to be on network television. And yet, the ratings for the thing were really bizarre for me.
Well, it kind of didn't let people know what it was about. And I think people, you know, we are at a weird crossroads where stuff that's spoiled in trailers is more, it does better than stuff that has that vague trailer to let you be surprised by the movie.
But the thing that worried me the most is it starts at 8.2 million viewers, 2.5 demo, which is solid, and by the time it goes into its second hour, the second episode, it drops all the way down to 6.8. That's a huge drop for a two-hour premiere.
Oh, yeah, that's people watching it and saying,
people watched it and walked away.
Yeah.
Which surprises me because I didn't think it was that bad. Now
that surprised me because we're in America, and walking is the last thing most of these people
well,
do.
Well, by walking, I mean they picked up their remote. You don't know. They don't go anywhere. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they just turn the channel.
There's people that don't even lock their doors.
They're like,
pizza man,
where's Navy and CIS?
Yeah, I need to check to see what was on at 10 that they all tuned into. I'm sure it was something.
Something CSI show.
It was Unforgettable.
What? I don't even know what that is, which is ironic.
Unforgettable, and I remember when I watched the pilot of Unforgettable, because my review of it was, it's pretty forgettable. It's not a good show.
I don't even know what it is. It's not even rememberable.
Yeah, that's what it should be called, unrememberable, because that's not a word. But anyway, so apparently The River is not working.
Which sucks, because it does have that, I mean, they haven't just gone out and said it, but it does have seemed to be possibly some type of paranormal.
Well, it's pretty blatant. You didn't make it as far as I did.
Yeah.
The first episode, it's a little bit vague. I actually did a freeze frame to catch a shot of something to where it's like, yeah, that's supernatural, because there's like this weird spooky thing coming at him, and it had a face. And I'm like, okay, that's supernatural. That's kind of interesting. And it's also being very episodic, because it's like, ooh, here's the big scary thing in the first episode, and then by the end of the first hour, resolved. And then they go in the second, and they're like, well, now we're going to search in the jungle, and we come across this weird thing, and there's this new supernatural incident that happens, and by the end of that hour, resolved. And I'm not sure if that works.
It's got Joe Anderson in it, and I like him, so.
But I thought it was well. I thought it's well put together. It's only 8 episodes long, so there's only 6 weeks left, and you know, so it's already almost over. But I don't know. I guess we'll have to see if the ratings stabilize at 7 million or if the thing is going to tank. I kind of was intrigued by it, but I'm used to genre shows disappointing me and getting canceled.
Oh, yeah.
At least on network TV. Sci-Fi just renewed Being Human, which is one of our topics. You're loving the American Being Human.
I'm loving it. It's fantastic.
And
last
you actually ran away from the British Being Human because of you have a man crush on one of these actors.
I like Sam Witwer, first of all, and I like Josh Huntington actually, because he's actually done a lot of stuff in the past that I've really liked. He was Jimmy Olsen, for Christ's sake, which is funny because he was Jimmy Olsen in Superman Returns, right? Mm-hmm. Sam Witwer, the guy who's the vampire, he was Doomsday in Smallville.
Oh, it all comes together.
So they're all Superman related. So I'm waiting for, you know, Brandon Roth or Tom Welling to make an appearance on the show, because the show really, honestly, nobody's a star out of it. The biggest star was Jacob from Lost.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no star at all.
And that guy's dead, so, you know.
But the show's chugging along in the second season.
I will say this. I didn't watch second season of a British one, so I don't know. But I will say that as far as the direction they're taking it in American-wise, it has become a little more True Bloody. You know what I mean?
And you want to know why? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The creators of the American version watched the first season of the British version, and they refused to watch any further. So now they're steering it in their own direction, and apparently they're being influenced by True Blood, if what you're saying is true, rather than the source material.
There's much more sexual tension in this one. I mean, they're doing it in a way that isn't blatant and obvious like True Blood does, but and it's making it interesting. So,
is it still as strong, do you think?
You know what? I'll say this. Every episode's weird to me because it makes me fluctuate. Like, at the beginning of the episode, they always have these strong opens, and you're like, oh, that was really cool. And then you kind of lose it in the middle of it, where you almost lose attention. But then they always bring you back at the end of the episode, so then you're like, oh, man, I got to see what happens next week. So, I mean, they're
– Oh, that's the classic bait and switch that so many shows do. It's like they do 10 minutes of good programming with filler.
Yeah, they're pacing every episode fantastic. Like, I mean – With the show right now, what they do is just going, okay, we're going to have a flashback for Aiden, and then we'll actually have some story progression. So you're interested to see what happens with them. So
let's see.
Oh, by the way, my wife just figured out yesterday that Being Human, the title for the show, was a play on human being.
That's fantastic. It didn't take her that long.
Yeah, I said it as a joke. I said, let's go watch Human Being, and she goes, what? And I was like, Being Human, it's a human being backwards. She goes, oh my god, I just got that. I was like, oh my god, it's been a year.
She didn't get it at all then. You just said it, and she heard you.
Yeah. It was really funny though. So anyway. Let's talk about everybody's favorite doctor.
Let's talk about House ending and how it probably should have ended about 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I really like House, and I think Hugh Laurie's awesome, class act.
The thing about it ending that's significant, at least from my point of view, is the reason House hasn't ended in the last 3 years is because Fox had nothing. None of their shows were working. So the fact that they're canceling it now means they're confident in Alcatraz and The Finder and possibly even Terra Nova because... Suddenly they have other shows.
I hate procedurals with a passion, but what you just said, both of them, The Finder and Alcatraz, are compelling.
Let me tell you this. I hate procedurals to the point that I go out of my way to not watch them, but I had to watch the premiere of The Finder to write about it.
It's fun.
I've watched every episode because I really – other than the runaway girl who's – the gypsy girl who's just annoying, I don't really see the point of her yet. I really like the show.
Well, it's like, first of all, Michael Clark Duncan, that guy's great to watch.
Yeah.
And then the other guy is just, it's funny because he's handsome enough for women to go, oh, he's good looking. But he's quirky and weird enough for guys to go, ha, that guy's funny.
Yeah, because he's crazy.
Yeah.
So I think House ending is a sign of strength along the Fox network. I mean, this season they finally have live action comedies that are working. They're actually launching a 2-hour block of comedies on Tuesdays when Glee takes a break. Which will be interesting because it's like 2 hours of live-action comedy on Fox. I don't think we've seen the likes of that in 8 years, 10 years. So, not that they're all good, because like I Hate My Teenage Daughter is one of them, and that's a terrible show.
Oh, it's absolutely terrible.
But they're making progress.
And Alcatraz is good too. So
Alcatraz is really good. It's doing a great job of giving you a procedural story, so that new people can have something to latch onto, and then but not. Maybe. Going too slow in progressing the bigger story.
I like that. I think, what, maybe one person has died?
Yeah.
So that's cool. We're not doing the classic kill the villain at the end.
No, and that's what makes it really interesting because all those actors who were the villains are still hanging around.
Yeah, and they could easily do a breakout episode.
Well, they have to do something with them because they're not paying them to just appear there and glare.
Yeah, well, right now they are.
Well, now they are.
Funny because... The guy from episode one, he gets a line almost every episode. And usually it's just like, I don't know, or something like that. But the glasses guy, that dude's job right now is to stare at people.
Well, he wants his own cell.
Yeah.
That's what it is. He just wants to be left alone. There's just a few other things on the list. We may not get to all of them. Simpsons 500th episode is going to happen sometime in the next month or so. It's notable because that's a ridiculous number.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm actually intrigued to see what happens with their attempt to break the world record by having someone watch all 500 episodes in order, like as a marathon. I think that's a neat idea. It'll be interesting to see someone watching that if their eyes start to glaze over as the show gets stupider.
They're going to do it as an event thing, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a big public event.
And I think that's interesting because there's going to be people doing a bunch of other stuff. Like, this guy's going to count the amount of times that Homer says dough, and this guy's going to do this, and this guy's going to do that.
Probably, yeah.
So you're going to get all these stats out of the first 500, which are going to be just absolutely entertaining. So next podcast, we should have some interesting stuff about that.
Yeah, hopefully there's some fallout from that. The other thing I had on here was the Office spinoff, which I think came at the SAG Awards, which you'll notice we didn't talk about, and that's because the SAG Awards is stupid.
Yeah, it's a horrible, horrible event. But well, one day I'll be an actor, and I'll be like, oh, no, the SAG Awards are great, Jay, and it's integrity in the business, and it needs to stay. And then you'll hate me.
Well, I'll just think you're more of a douche.
Yeah.
You've now tipped over.
Yeah.
But they talk about tentatively talking about a Dwight Schrute spinoff, which I don't know if that would work because I don't know if Dwight's character is leading man material.
I would say that with new comedies, the main character does not need to be likable anymore. Actually, unlikable characters are kind of becoming the new norm. And Dwight, and basically, if it was called Schrute Farms, let's say that's the name of it.
And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to base around the farm.
And it's just him running this farm.
Well, it's him running it, and his family's supposed to be there. It reminded me of Newhart, because I'm thinking a bunch of weirdos surrounding him.
Oh, yeah, because he's talked about his brother, and his brother
And they would be able to modify some of his personality, because a lot of his hatred and craziness comes from hating his job.
Well, yeah.
Or being frustrated at his job.
So, like, let's say he wins the lottery or something, so then he's free of, you know, Dunder Mifflin, and then we can actually do more with him. So
Dunder Mifflin. You were close.
Did I add an extra?
No, you switched the L to make it Dunder Mifflin.
Oh.
Which is actually more fun to say, but less correct. All right, yes. We're going to skip Walking Dead Comic Book Men. We're actually just going to talk about it next time.
Yeah, we were comic book men, so we'll actually be able to review it from a stance of being comic book men.
So the last thing I want to talk about is something I didn't put on the list because it broke in the middle of the night last night, and Brandon may or may not even know about it. And he actually hinted at it earlier when we were talking about being human in saying that somebody was on Smallville, because DC announced last night they're going the Buffy Angel route, and Smallville Season 11 is coming to actually the web first, but then comic shops. And it's Brian Q. Miller, who was one of the writers on the show, is writing this. So now they're going to tell us the first year of Clark as Superman in that continuity in comics. What do you think of that?
Ah, that's really cool, because I think that was the weak point of the show at the end, is that we didn't finally resolve any of that. So they can actually play up Darkseid and not have to have budget constraints to show him. So
right.
That's interesting.
And now
I was so worried because you wouldn't tell me what the story was, and I was like, and all I knew is that there's possibly going to be a Jersey Shore spinoff.
Oh, that's and there's one,
like,
already starting.
I swear to God, if this big story that he's going to reveal to me is a Jersey Shore spinoff, I am going to hang up on him.
No, the first Jersey Shore spinoff starts this month, and then they're trying to cast around a second one because God knows we need more Jersey Shore. But you know what?
Yeah.
Ratings are down on Jersey Shore, which makes me really happy.
Yeah,
I think the party's over. I think
faith in humanity has been restored.
But no, I thought that was a really interesting story. I think it's a great idea. I think
there's
a huge audience of people who weren't done, even though it was on for 10 years. What they'd been waiting for was this transition. So to have that and then it's over was disappointing.
Very true. And you know what? It brings in a lot of people that are going to get it. But a Buffy Angel, that thing did amazing. So
still doing good.
You know,
you know what's crazy? Here's something crazy.
I always like comics to do well anyway. So
Buffy Season, I think 9 is the comic that's going right now.
Uh-huh.
Every once in a while, something will happen in that comic book. And because it's Joss Whedon and it's supposed to be official continuity for now, every once in a while something will happen. And it'll get picked up by the mainstream press as, hey, here's what's happening in Buffy. Like it's still on TV. Which means that could happen with the Smallville story. The story broke to the television media as well because of the connection, obviously, to Smallville. But if it does well, it could keep people talking about it, which I think is interesting. In the main,
you know, he's aged the characters in Buffy to the point where they're just a bit younger than what they actually are right now.
Right.
So Joss Whedon's actually intelligent by making it to a point where if he ever decides to do a jumping on point, he could bring all of it back.
The only thing that would be difficult would be the vampires that don't age.
Yeah, because
mainly Spike.
David Boreanaz pretty much looks the same.
Well,
but,
yeah, David Boreanaz looks mostly the same. But
James Marsden has aged.
That's who I'm thinking about. He's going to be more of a problem. But I'm sure they could come up with some way that some magic happened and either he lost his vampirism or he somehow aged 20 years.
Yeah. But like, oh, you look horrible. Oh, I haven't live fed in...
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That explains it. but that's it. That was my big surprise story, because when I saw that, I was like, Brandon's going to think that's pretty cool, I think, and I'm gonna tell him live on air.
I like that DC TV's, that's their announcement, not the explanation of Green Arrow TV series or anything else that they've been talking about. Dead Man, Spectre, all this stuff.
I don't know. Who cares about any of that crap?
Yeah. Who cares about, you know, launching a new TV series?
No.
Leech off of what's already been going on for 12 years.
But it's going to premiere, and it's going to be a weekly web series that's then going to be collected apparently monthly or periodically in comic format.
By the way, look at a picture of Tom Welling from episode 1 and from the last episode.
He aged at least a year.
Yeah, how does that happen?
Well, they were showing footage in the finale from the first season.
That guy must be genetically perfect.
It's crazy. It's like, yeah, he looks a little older, but
because look at Chloe.
Just a little.
Chloe went from being a 16-year-old girl to being a 30-year-old woman.
Right.
And she aged naturally. The other, like, there's a lot of characters they didn't even have on the show from season one to season, you know, the final season. There's very few that actually you were on there. So, but when you look at the few that were, it's like, my God, he didn't age. It's insane.
Which is one of the reasons they were able to get away with it,
right?
It was 10 years.
It did go 10 years, full 10 years. Okay, yeah. So 10 years. He aged 10 years, and he looks the same.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He looked like he aged maybe a year, year and a half.
Yeah.
Which is why they were able to keep going with the show, because I think they're like, well, should we renew it? And then they'd look at him, and they'd go, my God, you still look like a kid.
Yeah, Kristen Crew got a little older looking, and they're like, oh, my God, she's starting to look like an adult. New character. Here's Lois Lane. So they introduce her, you know. It's like everyone else. I mean, Chloe didn't age much either. She only aged about 5 years. But, I mean,
Right. Still,
you can see a difference between her from the beginning to the end. And Rosenbaum, he left. So, technically, they could do whatever he wants when he comes back.
Right.
So.
Well, now they'll never have to age again because now they'll be in print.
So, John Schneider. I do like that John Schneider. He died, you know, pretty early in the series, basically. And then he has showed up as Ghost in an alternate universe and stuff in the future for the final series, the final season. But he has noticeably aged and grown his hair out. But they didn't explain why Clark Kent had visions of his father who had died at a certain age and a certain look. Now all of a sudden has longer hair and aged.
Right.
It's like, I just imagine my dad like he would be if he was here today. That's how I do it. I don't have an image of him stuck in my head. It's just...
No, he actually has a brilliant ability to just continue to age people in his mind.
except for himself.
Right. Well, that's why everyone else ages around him, even imaginary people.
Yeah. It's like,
because
and if you
he doesn't... You know what it is? It's like
really
the picture... It's a picture of Dorian Gray, but instead it's his dad.
Yeah,
memories of his dad that age instead of him.
You just look at it and go... and all of a sudden become, you know, Brandon Routh. But,
It all makes
sense. He is Superman. Because think about it, in the comics, you know, in the future when Batman's old and decrepit, Superman looks like he's aged about maybe 15 years.
So the question is, how on earth did they cast someone who – we need to make sure you're not going to age. Maybe they looked at his dad and his dad looked just like him and they're like, this feels good.
they got the Harry Potter casting studio who could apparently read the future and know what people are going to look like.
Right. It's like, man, that's a weird looking kid. That's going to be a handsome guy though.
Yeah. It's like, you lucked out there.
All right. Well, that is actually all I've got. And unless you got anything else you want to talk about, this may wrap it up for the month.
That's it. We are wrapped up in TV.
Well, why don't you do the spiel? Because you do it so well.
All right. Don't forget to follow or, you know, stalk us on Twitter. You can find me and Jason actually goofing around and doing stuff. We're All the Rage STL. because we're based out of St. Louis.
What?
So all the Rage, yeah, I know, right? All the Rage STL. You can find that on Twitter, and we you know, it's mostly comic book stuff, but there's some TV stuff mentioned. It's fun. It's fun stuff. The site itself that the podcast is on is 8 Days Geek, and you can follow them on Twitter at 8 Days Geek. And of course, you'll get all the podcasts sent to your Twitter feed. You can also become a fan of All the Rage on Facebook and 8 Days Geek on Facebook. But I will warn you that All the Rage on Facebook doesn't necessarily do too much.
But that means it won't get in your way, so why not just add it?
Yeah, that's why we do it, because we basically only want to do stuff that we really want feedback from our people. Other than that, we just kind of are looking for a fan base to grow, especially in the STL area. And then, with all those aside, let me pitch myself. I am Brandon C. Williams, and you can follow me on Twitter at Brando Supreme. And I'm on there all the time. I'm very, very active on Twitter. So don't expect, you know, like the one every once in a while thing. I usually try getting at least 5 tweets out a day. I try to be funny, and I will retweet things that I find interesting, no matter who it is. So, yep. And then, of course, if you have any questions, comments, or you want to just berate me for being stupid and going with Mumford & Sons for the Grammy sweep, then you can email me, Brandon@8daysgeek.com. Jason?
And I think you covered most of my stuff, except you can find me at Ultraversion, at Ultraversion21 on Twitter. And I'm trying to be more active. I have this problem where I'm like, I don't really have anything to say, but I'm going to say it anyways.
And, Jay, no one has anything to say on Twitter.
Oh, I know, and I hate that, and I don't want to be that, but... But I'm working on trying to have something to say, and at least it's funny or clever or something. So, you know, there you go. And I don't know that we have much of anything else, so I would say thank you, Brandon, for your time.
Thank you, Jason, for your time.
And I look forward to doing this next month. And you and I will be together again next week
for the movie edition.
All the Rage movie edition. So we do hope that people join us over there. If you've enjoyed our banter here, we're joined on that one by I Love Everything, Jesse Miller.
And I've seen nothing, Jason J. Hughes.
And yeah, I'm too busy watching TV. And so thank you again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been the All the Rage TV podcast, and it is over. Oh, hey, we're not done at all, because I didn't say that you can find me on Antenna Free TV. If you love me talking about TV and you want to hear me talking about it with somebody who is like a member of the TCA and who used to be my editor and who's like, you know, Mr. TV more than either of us even, you need to check out Antenna Free TV. It's a weekly podcast, runs a little longer than this one even. It's at antennafree.tv. You can also find it on Facebook and Twitter at Antenna Free TV. So, you know, there's that too. So I got more stuff out there than you do, maybe. I don't know.
We'll see.
All right, then. Now we're done. Bye. Thank you.